We start off Monday with a story that will really kind of piss you off. It still gets under my skin, and I've been reading it all week. And then we take a look at the conspiracy theory that a popular reality show may have been warning us of the coming police state. It's not cops. That's not the reality show I'm talking about. And then we travel to China, specifically the Great Wall of China, to investigate a new rumor that is spreading around the internet. Is it possible that there is an entire civilization living inside the Great Wall of China? Today on Dead Rabbit Radio. Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of Dead Rabbit Radio. I'm your host, Jason Carpenter. I'm having a great day. Hope you guys are having a great day too. I hope you guys had an awesome weekend. We have a ton of stuff to cover, so first off, let's give a shout out to our newest Patreon supporter, Alexander Hellander. Alexander Hellander, he's walking into the building, doing a little bow. He should change his last name to Highlander. That would be dope. Or, you know, just have his family legacy, his name Hellander. Alexander, you're going to be our captain, our pilot this episode. And if you can't support the Patreon, I totally get it. Just help spread the word about the show. That also really, really helps out a lot. So I'm going to toss Alexander the keys to the Jason Jalopy. He's kind of spinning them on his finger there for a second. I wanted to give you guys a little news update. Real quick news. We are doing a live episode on Thanksgiving Day. That's at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to be doing a live episode. And then afterwards, and maybe a little bit before the episode, we'll be taking questions, talking and stuff. You know what humans do when they meet each other? And I announced it during the live stream that I had on Saturday. Next year, we're coming out with the Dead Rabbit Radio video game. So I've been working on that. It's a lot of fun. It's with RPG Maker, which I've used in the past. I did create a game from start to finish. It was a 2-hour campaign. It was fun to do. It was the people who played it thought it was fun as well. So we're going to be doing that game. It's going to be on itch.io. So it's free. If you want to kick down a buck or two, you can, but it's going to be out there. It's for you guys. It gives me something to do, too, so I'm not just playing Minecraft on my time off. I'm building this game. You're going to be able to play a Dead Rabbit Radio fan. You get to play you, searching for me after I have been kidnapped by Mormon Bigfoot. So it's going to be all of our favorites. Hans is going to show up. Hans and a little monkey army is going to show up. I've been working on it. But that's going to be coming out next year. So Alexander, you ready to take us to our first story? He nods. Do, do, do. Alarm's going off. Everyone's looking around. They're like, what's that? And I go, oh, I want you to know we all have a new job. We are now officially baby savers. And you're like, what in the world is a baby? It's no time to talk. You're all filling out your W-9. I'm like pushing you aside. You're like, no, don't worry. Just take your taxes out later. Go. We got this new job. Baby savers. Alexander's driving the Jason Jalopy. Has a little siren on it. Woo. We're driving to save little baby person. Could you get any more noble than that? We're in Newton, Alabama. The car is racing through the streets of Newton, Alabama. It's the year 2017, and we just got a call that a baby needs saving. So we pull up to this Department of Human Services building. We're kicking down their door. They're like, dude, we know you work here, baby savers. You don't need to kick down our door all the time. Get out of the way, person who's trying to help us. Pushing our way into the back. In the back office, there's a woman named Grace Locke, and she's holding her little 3-month-old baby. Now, Grace Locke has 2 kids already. Got busted for some sort of drug crime. We don't care. We don't care about the specifics. We're just baby savers, right? She got busted for a drug crime. Her other 2 children got taken away. She did her time. Part of her parole, her probation, she had to do drug tests all the time. And she'd been doing really good. That's what she'd been telling people, right? You can never trust these guys. Oh, I'm not using the meth anymore. I'm not doing that no more. And she decides that she wants her other 2 kids back. She wants to have her family because now she has this 3-month-old child and she wants her other 2 kids out of the foster system. They can be a family again. I'm not on drugs anymore, she tells everybody. But when she's at Department of Human Services, she's holding her 3-month-old baby. We're standing in the room. We got our sunglasses on. Me, Alexander's looking super tough. He's all hitting his hand. I'm like, dude, calm down a bit. No punching yet. And it turns out that while she's sitting in the office, someone comes in. She's like trying to make her case to get her other 2 kids back. And they go, yeah, that's all well and good, but we are getting the results of your most recent drug test. You tested positive for meth. And not only that, So did your baby. Your 3-month-old baby tested positive for meth. So her baby is taken from her arms at that meeting. That's where we come in. And then, I don't know, we just save him. We put him in a corral in the middle of a park. Someone else can handle that side. We just literally take the babies. So that unfortunately happens, right? You have people trying to get their kids back. You have people who are struggling with drug abuse. And it's a struggle. You're going to use, you're going to go a while without using, you're going to use for a while. It's this whole thing. But Grace was sitting there and going, that's impossible. It's impossible. I have not used meth in a long time. She's just sobbing. Around the same time, there was this woman. She had already had issues with the law. She was getting drug tested. Popped a drug test. Her kids get taken away from her. Because again, this happens. This is pretty common. But that girl's mom, the grandmother to the children, is like, I know for a fact my daughter has not been using drugs. I know for a fact she hasn't been using drugs. She gets the lab paperwork, and she sees the doctor who signed off on it saying that she tested positive for drugs. She goes to the doctor's office, and she says, I want to talk to you about this. Like, I'm sure you hear this all the time, but I can guarantee you my daughter was not using drugs. And the doctor, that's all he does is process drugs. Even on his off time, he's like, oh, what a long day at work. He brings home a bunch of urine and blood. He's like, oh, this is so relaxing. He's testing it. He goes, I test it all the time. Yeah, I do hear this all the time, but let me take a look at that paperwork. And he looks at it, and he's looking it over, and he goes, that's not my signature. I never tested this person. This story really pisses me off. This story absolutely pisses me off. Brandy Murrah. She was the owner of A&J Lab Collections. So what it is people do the drug testing and then the lab collection people collect it as per their name and then they send it out to be tested by the doctors. They're handling stuff for like employment, they're handling stuff for probation, they're handling stuff for foster system trying to get their kids back, Department of Health and Human Services type of thing. Brandy Murrah, the owner of A&J Lab Collections, she owed money to these doctors, so she would gather the samples and then send the samples out to the doctors, but she wasn't paying her bills, so the doctors stopped accepting her samples until she caught up on her bills. But she can't catch up on her bills unless all these other places are paying her to send the stuff off. So what does she do? She just takes these drug tests, she takes these vial of blood, urine, a little bit of hair, she's a voodoo witch, she's doing that on the side. She's just saying, positive for meth. Positive for heroin, positive for meth. She just starts making up positive drug results and then forging doctors' names. People's kids were get taken away because of her. People who, listen, I make a lot of jokes about like people using meth and stuff like that. We pretty much had Meth Monday going on for a while. But come on, like you gotta, you're like someone who's a drug addict. How many times were they lying to people saying, no, 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 Ma, I'm clean this time. And then they OD or they, no, can I have $20? I'm going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. I'm going to go to Chuck E. Cheese. I know I'm going to beat the high score. And then they go out and they cop again. And that goes on. And then eventually you hit rock bottom and then you do try to recover or you go to prison or something happens with your kids or something like that. There's always, with drug abuse, there's always a trust issue. Now imagine that you are actually clean. After years and years and years of lying and stealing, lying to yourself as well, you're clean. And you fail a drug test and somebody takes your 3-month-old baby out of your arms. That's quite sinister too, to make up a baby drug test. My first drug test by Fisher-Price. Like, that's pretty sinister. She was making this stuff up, ruining people's lives. People who we're really trying to make it work. That, oh man, this story pissed me off so much when I read it, dude. I was like, you're really picking on people who are trying their hardest to get their life back together. She's in prison for 15 years now for fraud. 15 years for however much money. And the police say, we don't know how many times she did this. We estimate it's in the thousands. Thousands of false drug tests. And I'm wondering too, how it's not so bad if you're applying for a job and you have meth in your system and she says tested negative, right? You go to the job, you act all totally freaking out all the time. Your Pee Wee Herman's personal assistant, he's like, oh, I like your moves. That's fine. I mean, it could be troublesome if you're the boss and you hire that guy. But to struggle so long with addiction and be clean and people still kind of like not believing you because you lied so often, and then having science tell you, oh, you're lying. Oof. This story really made me mad. Really, really made me mad. So let's take Grace's baby out of the pen that we have built in the park and give Grace her baby. Could you imagine that? Listen to this quote that Grace had after it happened. Quote, it was terrible. I felt like my heart was being ripped out of my chest because I knew I was doing right with this one. I knew I was doing right. Jacked up, dude. The story really, really, really makes me mad. Alexander, let's go ahead and leave behind Brandy Mirage. She has on a little jail suit. She's looking out between bars. I don't have to say allegedly because she's already been sentenced. Call in that Carpenter Caboose. We're hopping on the rails. We're taking a train trip out to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I know you wanted to pull the whistle, Alexander, so go ahead. Everyone wants to pull the whistle. Everyone gets a chance the whole time we're going there. We're all deaf by the time we get there. We are now in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. We are at Abby Lee Dance Company. And so there's Abby Lee. You're like, I still don't know where we're at. Who's that? The Dance Moms. It's the show Dance Moms. It's that reality show. It's exactly what it sounds like. It's a bunch of little girls like trying to hone their craft, and their moms who are, I have a weird attraction to the moms. I should say right now, I've watched more than a few episodes of this show. I have a weird attraction to the moms because I like people who are super driven. And they're all wealthy, which is another thing I'm attracted to. You have them, and they just sit there, and they mock each other constantly, and then they talk trash about other people's kids. Not so much. You're like, geez, what does any of this have to do with paranormal conspiracy and true crime? I'll get to that. You're like, this isn't Dead Rabbit Recommends, is it? And I was like, no. I do watch a lot of... I don't watch as much as I used to because I don't have a lot of time, but I do enjoy reality television set. I enjoy competitive reality television, and I enjoy reality television that is a subculture that I'm not a part of. Like, I was watching that My Big Fat Gypsy Wedding. That's not even a show. It was about a bunch of gypsies running around Britain getting married. They were, like, all living in a trailer park, and you had to have subtitles on because you couldn't understand what anyone was saying. But anyway, so I watched nonsense like that. I used to watch it all the time. So I've seen more than a few episodes of Dance Moms. Abby Lee is basically yelling at kids. The whole show is yelling at kids. It's actually quite terrible. The kids are crying the whole time. But again, this is not a Dead Rabbit Recommends. If you want to see kids crying, watch Dance Moms. 8 p.m. on A&E or TLC or whatever. The reason why we're talking about this, I have a legitimate reason why we're talking about this. We're sitting in Abby Lee's dance studio. There's a bunch of hot moms sitting next to us. And there's a bunch of like kids dancing and stuff like that. And then, so we're watching that, but see in the corner, we see like this guy. He's like this dude just standing there in the corner. And he's like, has a little earpiece in it. And he's like, they're doing the dance. They're doing the dance, you like, boss. The really cool one, the technical one where they have to twirl around on their toes. Yeah, they're doing it really good. There's a guy with an earpiece and he goes, the dance has commenced, sir. We can start with plan one. This is... I'm making it so convoluted. Here it is. Let me just tell you what the conspiracy theory is. I don't know why I built up this whole mythology, this Dance Moms universe. Here's the conspiracy theory. There's this person on Reddit named Gatorquake who put together this timeline. This is going to blow your mind, guys. January 5th, 2016, season 6, episode 1. I actually had to watch this because I had to verify she wasn't just making this stuff up. But season 6, episode 1, the girls put on a performance. It's all interpretive dance, which is my least favorite kind of dance. There's a girl in a bubble, and the other dancers are wearing face masks, and they're pushing the bubble around. And she's like, And then the dance, I watched the whole routine because, again, I was like, that's the least interesting part of the show, honestly. I'd rather see the Dance Moms. They're doing the dance, and then she's like getting pushed around and stuff like that, and then she dies in the bubble. Not in real life. It was part of the interpretive dance. You're like, oh my God, a kid died? I gotta watch that show. No, that doesn't happen. January 17th, 2017, season 7, episode 8. One girl is not there. She doesn't show up to practice. And again, it's super competitive dancing. She's at the ER with chest pains. And the dance teacher goes, that's not good. I heard a virus is going around. January 24th, 2017, season 7, episode 9. I tried looking for this clip on YouTube because it sounds hilarious. And I found it, but it wasn't as funny as I thought it was going to be. A girl starts throwing up. And she throws up into a garbage can. So, you know, it's not super funny. You don't actually see, like, chicken bones coming out of her mouth. She's throwing up. And the other moms are like, get her out of here, dude. Like, if she's throwing up, she's going to get all these other kids sick. And the girl's like, oh, the show, dude, maybe I should Dead Rabbit recommend it. Because the show's hilarious. The kids are, like, between the ages of, like, 9 and 16, 17. There's this little 11, 10-year-old girl. She's like, oh, I don't feel so well, Mom. She's throwing up in this garbage can. The other moms are like, get her out of here. She's going to get all these other kids sick. We're in this enclosed environment. And the girl's mom is like, oh, no, she's okay. She'll just practice over here. And then she takes a giant garbage can, sits it down next to her daughter, and goes, keep dancing. If you need to throw up, just throw up in the... I can't imagine a parent being so callous. Let her go home, dude. She's vomiting. Like, if someone has a bad tummy ache, yeah, whatever. Do a couple spin around. Don't do that. But you know what I mean? Like, work it out. But if she's actively throwing up, they just put a garbage can next to her and go, okay, 5, 6, 7. Awful, such an awful show. But anyways, the point is that Gatorquake on Reddit posted this. Dance Moms predictive programming. The show Dance Moms was preparing the world for COVID. With these three episodes, it was tuning into people's brains. You see, the first one, her in the bubble and everyone with masks, that was to show the containment, the isolation that the world is coming to. Second one, Abby Lee goes, there's a virus going around, because no one ever says that, ever, unless they're predictive programming for a pandemic. No one's ever go, yeah, I heard the flu's going around. If you said that, you're part of the problem. And then Gatorquake goes on to say, oh, that scene where the girls are telling her to leave, telling the last one, with the girl's throwing up, by the way. I'd be telling her to leave, too. Take your daughter home. They're saying, see, that showed the anger people are going to have at people who don't self-isolate. This is my thing about predictive programming. There are so many thousands of hours of content cranked out a day that you are going to have matches. That's always been one of my big arguments against predictive programming. Think about all the movies that are churned out, all the television shows, all the songs that are churned out. So when you have a rap song from 2 years ago and he's like, yo, coronavirus gonna get ya. People go, oh, predictive programming, this underground rapper. It's a pretty good song. I'll put it in the show notes. See, he really did say that. This underground rapper said this, the predictive programming. How many hundreds and thousands of hours, hundreds of thousands of hours of content had come out in the past 2 years all over the world? You're going to get some hits. That's always been my thing about predictive programming. So yeah, that you're going to get some matches. When you pump out, what is that, 7 seasons of Dance Moms, and you pull out 3 episodes where people are sick, then yes, you're right. People get sick sometimes on television, and there's a pandemic going on. You're right. But how many other hundreds of hours of television didn't have that stuff? So that's always my thing with predictive programming. I just found this one super interesting because it involved a bizarre show. A lot of times they involve things that are more popular, like The Simpsons. I guess Dance Moms is pretty popular. Her argument was that this show was specifically to get stay-at-home moms ready for COVID. But if they're stay-at-home moms, they're already staying at home. So they already stay at home, and COVID is about getting people to stay at home. So basically, they'd be like, oh no, normally I sit on the couch for 10 hours a day. Now I got to sit on the couch for 12 hours a day. Oh, woe is me. Bring the wine. So anyways, you can always find predictive programming and a bunch of stuff. But Alexander, get ready to call in that Carpentercopter. We are leaving behind Abby Lee's dance studio, and we are headed out to China. We're flying out there. Got on a little tap shoes. I'm doing a little tap dance the whole way. You're like, oh my God, this is so awful. I'm trying to impress those dance moms. I'm like, look at my moves, ladies. As you guys take a quick vote whether or not to push me out of the Carpentercopter. Luckily, you guys vote not to. We land at the Great Wall of China. This was actually a recommendation via Levi on Facebook. So thank you, Levi. I really, really appreciate it. Thought it was an interesting story. It's a little baby conspiracy. This one is just starting off. And I wanted to explore it very early with you, and we can see where this goes. Will it sprout like a mighty tree? Or just not? Just be a seed in the ground people forget about. A long, long time ago. I didn't write it in my notes. I didn't put it in my notes. But a long time ago. Was old wind brushing over China. Which I didn't put in my notes. I didn't write in my notes where the wall was either. You can tell this is a very well-prepared episode. The dudes, the Mongols, kept going into China and like pushing over stuff. They're like, they run up to the emperor, they keep knocking him over and then leave. He's like, that's it. I'm tired of getting toppled over every time the Mongols show up. Let's build a big old wall. So they build this giant wall. They call it the Great Wall. I don't know. Did they call it the Great Wall of China? We don't call it the Statue of Liberty of the United States. Like, did they just say the Great Wall? Or did they have a cooler name like the Barrier from Beyond or something like that? Who knows? I'm sure I could look it up. But again, poorly set of episode. There's a Great Wall all over this place in China. It's like in the supermarket. It goes everywhere. And it kept out the Mongols, kept out a bunch of raiders. It's actually the largest man-made structure on Earth. I'm actually surprised there's not more ancient alien stuff. I have a theory of why. Because China had good written records, so we know how it was built. All that ancient alien stuff, they go, well, there's no written record, so we're just going to make stuff up, pretty much. But for this one, I've never heard that aliens built the Great Wall of China, even though it's the largest man-made structure in the world. I'm surprised there's no story. There might be out there. I've just never really looked into it. But anyways, so you have the Great Wall of China. And it kept the Mongol hordes out. No one's going to ride all the way around the wall. You don't even know at what point you're going to, like, the wall's going to end. So you just give up. You're like, we'll go the other way. We'll raid the Middle East or something like that. Because that's much easier than just climbing a wall. On June 26, 2020, on the X board, there is a post that talks about Kellandia. And what it is... You had a Mongol horde show up to the wall, and they're like, oh, great. We heard people talk about this wall. We saw people coming back. They're like, hey, how was it pushing over the Emperor of China? They're like, couldn't get there. There is a wall. What? There's that big of a wall? They're like, yeah, don't waste your time. We're headed out to Turkey. Oh, okay. They get there. They get to the wall, and they're like, oh, this sucks. Probably should have listened to my fellow countrymen. But instead of leaving, they say, you know the old Mongol saying, home is where the heart is. What if we live in the wall? What are you talking about? He goes, no, hear me out. We need a place to, we can still do raiding parties. There's still like people we can attack on this side of the wall. And maybe if since we're already digging into the wall anyways, maybe we could just pop out the other side. But my point is that why would we like scale the wall or dig through the wall, attack a bunch of people, and then have to go back through the wall to get home? Why don't we make our home inside the wall itself? And everyone is kind of thinking about it, and they go, let's give it a shot. So they begin moving bricks around. Do they have guards on the wall? Like, what's the point of having a giant wall? Because other people, like, could climb up it and stuff like that, or just bring a giant ladder next time? Like, what's the point of having a wall unless you have guards on it? But the wall's so big, you would need a ton of guards or guys with really good eyesight. One of the two, either 1,000 people or just 100 who can see well. I'm sure they had a guard, right? Maybe. Probably should have researched that. Anyways, the point is that apparently a group of Mongols built a hole in the wall and then created a series of tunnels underneath and inside the Great Wall of China itself. And at first, it was just like they'd pop out every so often with their horses. That'd be shocking, right? A horse jumping up from underneath the ground is something you wouldn't expect. The horses would come out, they'd do raiding parties, they'd go back to the wall. First, it started off like that. But over time, a full civilization began to grow within the Great Wall of China. You had like a city down there, a full civilization. They were no longer part of the Mongolian Empire. They were their own separate thing. They were Kalandia. So this first jumped up on June 26, 2020. People were immediately like, well, that's dumb. Like, that doesn't work at all. There's a couple different reasons it doesn't work. One person said Kalandia is a European way of naming things, that the Mongols wouldn't call it that. And the guy says, yeah, he says that he was teaching English over in China from the year 2005 to 2007, and he had heard this local rumor. That's what this was. And he says, listen, China wants to keep a lot of stuff under wraps. This is one of those secrets that China doesn't want anyone to know about. That thread dies out really quickly. There's maybe like 6-7 post response to it. It dies out. The next mention of Kalandia is the next day, June 27th. It just pops up in a other board. People are talking about conspiracy theories and someone's like, hey, did you ever hear this thing about Kalandia? Really doesn't gain any traction. July 29th, someone's saying they had heard the story of Kalandia, but everything that's written about it is in Chinese. So it's hard to actually get sources on it. And this kind of goes on and on. These are the dates that I could actually find it was posted on the X board. June 26th, June 27th, July 29th, August 25th, October 22nd. So let's take a look at this as a whole. One, the most likely thing is that somebody's completely making this story up. They're trying to fetch Kalandia. They're trying to get it to be a conspiracy theory, and people aren't buying it. And we've come across that a lot. Some conspiracy theories catch hold very quickly. Some take a while, and some of them are like fetch. It's just never going to catch on. Like, it's just not going to go anywhere. It's possible that it's totally made up. It's possible that each of these are from the same person. I do find it interesting. I'm not a big fan of coincidences. We just talked about that with the predictive programming thing. It's coincidence, right? But I do think that this is weird. Let's look at those dates again. June 26th, June 27th. That would make me really think it was the same person posting that on two separate days. July, August, October. It's always in the 20s. 26, 27, 29th, 25th, 22. Coincidence? Yes, most likely. But it's an odd coincidence as well that it's spread out over, what is that, 4 months, and it's always in that same grain. It's like they only get access to the internet the last 10 days of the month. But let's put on our conspiracy cap here, and we'll end it like this. Yes, it probably is a conspiracy theory that is just not going to catch on. It's probably something somebody made up, and it's not going to catch on. But let's put on our conspiracy caps for a moment. The poster said this is the reason why sections of the Great Wall of China are inaccessible. They're actually roped off. Now, the official reason is because they're super dangerous, they're rubbly, you know, the wall wasn't built to last as long as it has, so you're walking, you fall, and you slip on a bunch of rocks and stuff like that. But that's the official explanation, that's just not safe. But his explanation was that those parts that are cordoned off lead to the civilization, a civilization that is still down there. The story wasn't that they were just down there for a while. There still is a separate nation at this point living within the Great Wall of China. Conspiracy caps on our heads. This is the type of group that would pull the strings and run the world. A group you've never heard of. If you know about them, they have no power. 100%. In the conspiracy world, if you know about them, they have no power. Because if they had power, you would never know about them. Know about predictive programming. They got to let us know to let their plan. If they run the world, you never know the culture, the language, the people exist. They are ghosts. These are the type of groups you have to look out for. A group that is hidden for hundreds or thousands of years. You have no idea that they exist. When people talk about them, you laugh. And I laugh. And someone trying to tell that story, the threads just die off. These are the groups that are the most worrisome because you don't know you're supposed to be afraid of them because you don't even know they exist. It's possible that this person is onto something, that there is a hidden society inside. I mean, it's a funny visual, but that there's a hidden civilization inside the Great Wall of China. So it's possible that this poster, whoever he is actually onto something. is actually trying to let people know about Killandia, and they may not even know how dire the circumstances actually are. This may be a local legend they heard while they were teaching over in China, but it actually may be a clue to who is pulling the strings around the world. Now, I've always said I don't think there's one monolithic group that is controlling the world. I think there are hundreds of separate groups trying to control the world. I think there are hundreds of separate groups that are fighting amongst each other. Sometimes they make alliances for short-term gain. But they're constantly pushing and pulling at world politics, at society, at culture, entertainment. This is constantly going on. But it's these groups that you don't even know exist that are the most dangerous. Because if you don't know they exist, you can't prepare to fight them. And a group that started off as savage raiders, raping and pillaging their way across China, if they're now in the boardrooms, if they're now in the halls of power, that savagery is still there. That take-all energy is still there. You may not be able to find their nation on a map. You might not ever know how to speak their language. You may never even know they exist. But they know you exist. They can't wait until they take over the world. The Silent Masters vying to conquer everything and rule the planet from within the Great Wall of China. DeadRabbitRadio@gmail.com is going to be your email address. You can also hit us up at facebook.com/DeadRabbitRadio. Twitter is @DeadRabbitRadio. Dead Rabbit Radio is the daily paranormal, conspiracy, and true crime podcast. You don't have to listen to it every day, and I'm glad you listened to it today. Have a great one, guys.